Good to see you today. Last week, Pastor Rick talked about assurance of salvation, and it was kind of our pre-sermon for this series that we're beginning on the journey. So I want to talk about the journey. I want you to look at your life as a Christian as a journey. Paul uses the word, the noun, the walk, the Christian life like a walk, like you're going on a walk. Some of you, how many of you have read the book Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah.
Four of us. It's a Christian classic, and it's about the adventure of a Christian on his walk through life. And today I want to just kind of cast the big picture for you here today as we're going to be looking at things. You know, in some ways you could view what is about to happen and is happening with our church almost like a restart. We're going to be moving our hub of operations back to Georgetown, where we began. So over the next weeks, we're going to be looking at some real basic things about our journey with Jesus as we walk with Him through life. So let's pray, and then we'll dig in. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, clear and plain. I pray today You will speak to us. Lord, I want You to speak to me. I want You to speak through me. Lord, we bow in obedience to You today, and I'm thanking You for all the answers to prayer that we're going to see in the coming days, weeks, and months. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, to go back to last week, and this is my first point, you need to be sure about your starting point. Make sure of that place where you began. Here's a scripture in 1 John 5:13. I've written this to you, believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, the word there for know is a word that means to know experientially, to know for sure. It's something that you know by your own personal experience. It's not just a recognition of facts, and see, an experience with Jesus is not that. It's not just you interacting, you sign on the line, I believe these things in my head. It's something that makes that 18-inch transfer from the head to the heart, where it is who you're passionate about. And he said last week, he talked to us about our assurance of salvation. He wants, the Lord wants us to be sure that we belong to Him. This is your assurance. Now, I want to ask you, have any of you had an issue with that in your life about being sure that you belong to Him and sure of your salvation? Would you raise your hand, please? Huh? Anybody? Okay. All right. I'm going to ask one person that I know real well that's sitting right here. Audrey, you had... You and I both had some issues with that, did we not?
Yes.
And would you tell us about that just a little bit?
Goodness, this is completely surprise, off the cuff. Yes, when I was walked the aisle as a child, tradition in our church that I was raised in, and when I was a teenager, realized through some experiences that... maybe that didn't happen, that I needed to know for sure. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but I needed to be assured of my salvation, so I nailed it down at that time when I was a teenager. Asked Jesus into my heart, and then later when we got married, I did not follow through with the outward baptism, but when we got married, we were baptized together when we joined the church and seminary. But yes, just needed to nail it down, just doubts.
Audrey and I had a very similar experience. I did the same thing in my life, raised in church, but I needed to know for sure. Because see, the devil he'll zero in on your doubts. And I want you to know, if you're doubting about your relationship to Him, maybe you don't want to come up here at the end of a service in that way. Put it on your card. Give us a call. Our phone number, we would love to talk to you about this. This is something that you don't... It was torture for me for a long time because I knew I went through a whole year of my life tortured by that. Not being sure when it was so easy just to make sure. So if you're on this journey with Jesus, the first place you got to stop is say, do I really have a relationship with Him? Now here's the second place where you prepare for the journey. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we're His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God has beforehand prepared beforehand so we can walk in them." And in this, I'm going to put that other one up there. This is your discipleship. So once you come to Jesus, He then prepares you through discipleship, through your walk with Him. Things like your Bible study, your prayer time, your time in the body, where He's making you into His disciple. You don't automatically come, well, you know everything about Jesus. Suddenly, you receive Jesus in your life, and suddenly, it's like you've been walking with Jesus for 50 years. That isn't how it works. Now, how many of you have struggled in your discipleship with Jesus? Would you put your hand up? All right? Who wants to talk to me? I'm going to pick one of you. Anybody? All right, Heidi. I'm going to come around there and talk to you. This idea of discipleship, he's building you into the person He wants you to be. Now, Heidi, how have you struggled with your discipleship?
Well, I was raised Roman Catholic, and at, I suppose, 14, I was disowned by the family. So I had my own Bible that I read through and I highlighted and everything else. And a lot of what I was believing wasn't in conjunction with what I was being taught through Catholicism. And when my mother asked me to leave the house, she took the Bible and told me I wasn't worthy of having it. So for a long time, I struggled with that. And it wasn't until I met Regina, and Regina gave me a Bible and said, "Everybody is worthy of this," that I realized through talking with her and then finding the sycamore and everything that through His Word, I can help others to receive Him. And it doesn't matter if, you know, you're the poorest person in the world or the richest person in the world or if whatever your situation is, you have every right and every ability to receive Christ's love, provided that you do believe that He is your Savior.
Amen. Do you hear it? God used His Word in her life as it says here, we are what? His workmanship. His. He's fashioning us. The other two verses, you know, this is a classic, these are classic verses. 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, this is the free gift of God, not works, lest no one should boast." Well, we forget about the 10th verse that then goes on and says, "We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand." So way back when, before she even knew what was going to happen, God was already preparing Heidi's life to walk where she's walking today. And He does that with all of us. Can you see it in your own life? All right? This is your discipleship. And He uses the Word, He uses prayer, He uses all the Christian disciplines, the being a part of the body, both public and in small groups. He uses all these things to fashion us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who is the very Spirit of Christ, who lives within us. All right? Third thing, you acknowledge your traveling companion. Now look at this verse, Acts 1:14. these all with one mind, these all, who's it talking about? It's talking about the Christians there as Acts begin, and by the second chapter of Acts, you have the coming of the Holy Spirit, but the church is there waiting. Jesus said, wait there, tarry there, and I'm going to send you another counselor. We'll send you the Holy Spirit. So they were all with one mind, continually devoting themselves. See the proactive nature of this. Devoting themselves to prayer along with the women. Oh man, that was radical back then that the women were going to be a part of it. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So all this group is there waiting. I want you to see the nature of the traveling companions. This is your community. This is the community of faith. How many of you realize the community of faith God's placed you in? Somebody want to give a testimony about that, Anthony? I saw the look on your face. All right. I want you to acknowledge your traveling companions here today. Can you do that?
I can.
All right.
Noah was probably, he wasn't even a year old yet, I don't think. And something happened and we had to take him to the emergency room. And Gail and I sat in the pediatric emergency room at Memorial. And over the course of probably an hour, we had all three pastors, all three of their wives, and my in-laws all showed up at the hospital to pray with us. And that's something I had never experienced. The community of Christ coming around us, brand new parents, to come pray with us and make sure that we were going to be okay.
Did you write all that down, Gail?
She didn't have to.
She writes everything in that book. Do you see the community? The body of Jesus? Being that? I mean, it's not just an idea. And the oneness of that. They bring, and it's not perfect, is it?
No. It's not supposed to be.
All right. Do you know any perfect people? I know one. He died on a cross. All the rest of us, man, we have. So we've got traveling companions that are walking this with us. We need to acknowledge them and benefit from them. That brings us to the last thing I'm going to say today. Number four. Now, I couldn't decide on what verb I wanted to use. So like a real good preacher, I got them all to start with E. That's a special gift that God gives to preachers to be able to do that. You embrace, endure, enjoy the journey. Now, I picked out Romans 8:28, and I think this is New Living Translation. I should have acknowledged it. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for Him. Now, let's talk about that verse for a minute. Does that mean everything's good? Is that what that says? Does it say everything's good? Not what it says. But it says He works, He causes all the stuff to work for good. So what does He do? He takes the lemons in our life and what does He do? Makes lemonade. If we allow Him, and they work together for the good of those, not only those who just love God, say, I love God, but realize that they're called according to His purpose for them. So it's not just people talking about belonging to Jesus, but it's people acting on belonging to Jesus. Do you know the difference? My dad, on a project not far from here, that's remained nameless, a multi-story building, he had this guy that was telling him the whole week, this in my dad's BC days, before Christ days, he was, he was not a Christian. I'll just leave it at that. And he acted like not a Christian. But this guy kept preaching to him every day. And this guy kept telling him that he was perfect and he didn't sin at all. Now, how many of you believe that? So, as it would have it, as God would have it, Dad was about ready one day to throw that guy off of that multi-story building. He had made him so mad. And he got up and Dad got up in his face and Dad said, I realized that he was not perfect that day. because of all the words that came out of his mouth. And he wasn't inviting him to Sunday school, I can tell you that. By the things that came out of his mouth. And Dad, being the smart non-Christian that he was, smart aleck, I mean, he said, well, I guess this means you're not perfect, right? And then Dad was ready to throw, then that guy was ready to throw Dad off the building. Years later, God used that story in Dad's life to remind him that he's a work in progress. We have this body life as we're interacting. God wants us to embrace the fact that we're part of the body of Jesus and where we have been placed. He's placed us together. So many of us, you know, God starts working in our lives, and what's the first thing we want to do? Oh, I got to go somewhere else. I got to go over here. Wait a second. God's working in our lives where? Right here. You might better mine out that mine of all the jewels that are there before you move. So embracing the journey, his body life, we are part of one body, fitly joined together, Scripture says. But sometimes this body has to endure one another. Now, let's see. Who wants to give a testimony on endurance? Huh? All right, James. I know you don't want to talk, but you're going to have to today. All right? James, what's recently happened in y'all's life?
Well, my wife passed away on the 7th, February 7th.
Has that been a tough experience?
Very tough, very tough.
How so?
We were together 31 years, and we did basically everything together, and now she's not there.
Who is helping you right now to get through this without her?
God is, and the sycamore.
Okay. Is God doing a good job?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he is. Right.
I want you to hear that. When you lose a mate, is it a traumatic experience, Richard Lindell? Every day. And it's endurance. You know, we all want to live on that last E. Oh, man, it's happy. You know, it's a great time to be with Jesus and all that. And it's a joyful time and all. But you know, a lot of life isn't that place, is it? It means enduring. But it's still part of the life in the body of Him. Life, real life. We're traveling this journey together. We're on this walk. He's calling on us to embrace it. Embrace the fact that He is with us. He has placed us in a body of believers. And that there are times we've got to endure. It's tough. It's tough. I had mononucleosis when I was the summer I turned 13, between 7th and 8th grade. I went down to, I was 5'7". I weighed 90 pounds when I got it. I went down to 80 pounds. Now imagine that, 5'7", 80 pounds. Now remember, I was in bed for 14 weeks, over 3 months. I was a very sick human being. And remember my mother would come to me, and I lost my taste for all food. I hated sweet tea during that time. I lost my taste for sweet tea. Can you imagine? That's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, consider that's the elixir of heaven. She would bring these milkshakes to me, and I didn't want to drink them, but each day she would make one for me. They were chocolate, and this was before they had those the Ensure and all that stuff. I don't know what my mama put in that milkshake. She never would admit everything that she put in that milkshake, but it kept me alive. I was enduring. But I needed somebody to help me endure. Do you need that same kind of help in your life? You need to be shaking your head just like this. We need each other. It's body life. Life in his body. Real life. Real problems. Real stuff going on. And a real Jesus who has real hands and feet. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with us. That's your journey. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about this journey, the basic building blocks of this journey. I hope you'll tune in. Has God spoke to you today? Is there something you'd like to pray about? Something in one of the testimonies? And thank you for you four people who involuntarily volunteered today to be a part of this message. Has God spoken to you? Pastor Dane, Miss Kathy, Audrey and I will be up here as we will open the altar for prayer now. And we will pray with you about anything. Now, three questions. Have you started the journey? Number two, how's it going? Number three, can't be improved. We will be here to pray with you about the answers to those questions or any other that you have today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you that we hear your word clear and plain. Thank you for moving in us. Thank you. Thank you for this body life, for this community of faith. Lord, for the people that you are discipling around us, and for the calm assurance that we belong to you today. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Speak, move, act. In Jesus' name we pray. If I could have your attention here for just a moment. Brother Gary has a testimony he wants to share with us.
Thank you. I get emotional sometimes. I'll try to make it through this. But many of you know that back in December, I was diagnosed with supraventricular tachycardia. I had a couple of passing out episodes at home. I went to see Dr. O'Keary. He says, you need to stop your supplements. A couple of these could be affecting your health. Went in to see the cardiologist the following Wednesday, a couple of days later. And before I left that day, they'd scheduled me for a pacemaker implant and a heart cath. Thankfully, they sent me home with a Holter monitor, took it back the next morning. The doctor called later, said, we've canceled those procedures. Here's a couple of meds for you to take. So that was December 12th or 13th, I think. Went back the next week to talk to another doctor about heart ablation. Sometime after that, I talked to a friend at a real estate meeting, and she reminded me of an acquaintance who had moved to Arizona from Savannah, who has the gift of healing. On February 4th, I spent about 45 minutes with her over the phone. Through the Holy Spirit, she was able to analyze me from head to toe. She said, God's going to heal you. Then she prayed a prayer of healing. I accepted that. That was February 4th. The following Friday, I went into the hospital to have an ablation. The doctor could not get the heart to act up. Tachycardia is an issue of where the heartbeat erratically increases and drops down. So to me, that was a confirmation that God had healed me of the tachycardia. This is my first Sunday driving to church since December 2nd. Don't take driving for granted. I thank my family. I call it family Uber. They were bringing me to church. You've seen my wife and grandson bring me to church. I had to miss some Sundays because I either wasn't feeling well or no one was able to bring me. But this past Tuesday, the doctor says, you're okay to drive again. They're wanting to do what's called a loop monitor implant, but I'm going to respectfully decline that. I go back for a follow-up appointment this Wednesday morning. But I want to thank all of you who prayed for me, And the great physician has touched my life. Thank you.
Amen.
We can stand some more of that, can't we? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Gary. All right. We'd like to, if you have a gift to bring to the Lord, that $1 million check that we've want to come sign it, or your cards, we want to get those from you. There's a basket in the back, and up here we'll receive those at this time. All right, we're going to pray out at the property at 12:45. So be there or be square. You can pick something up to eat on the way. Some of you have said, well, I'm just going to, we'll pray and then I'll go get something to eat together. However you want to do that. But we're going to pray at 12:45. So let's go. Lord, send us out now in the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, the authority of God our Father. Amen. Second one.